cooperation and support in being pushed in, as it were, as you are at the present moment. But let me assure you, immediately the profession moves up the field, the area in which you are now standing will be considerably enlarged. And when the profession finally leaves the little church to come back here to the table, you will have the whole circuit of the field in which to work. I know you will understand and be patient with us. Secondly, there will be refreshments throughout the evening, mineral water, ice cream, and tea. It is being run by the Working Men's Institute, probably one of our largest local charities, and we invite your full-hearted support of a good cause. And lastly, the church, as our local people know, and as some of our insular community understand, but our folks from overseas cannot be aware of, the little church on the field here is normally used for other purposes. And may I say that when the party leaves the church, which will not be terribly long, if you will again be patient, then you may use that building for the purposes for which it was built. Now, we're not going to apologize for being late starting. We never do in the Isle of Man, you know. And we can pat ourselves on the back tonight in a way that the nice folk from overseas haven't forgotten altogether. They can be a little bit late as well as us. Grand. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to quote, if I may, from our very own Manx poet, the Reverend T. E. Brown. In his dedication to Fogasulian, he wrote, "Dear countrymen, whate'er is left to us of ancient heritage, of manners, speech, of humour, polity, the limited horizon of our stage, old love, hope, fear, all this I fain would fix upon the page, that so the coming age, lost in the empire's mass, yet happily longing for their fathers, here may see as in a glass what they held dear, may say, 'Twas thus and thus they lived,' and as the time's flood onward rolls, secure an anchor for their Celtic souls." And it is in the spirit of Tom Brown's dedication that we present to you this evening the Manx legend. You know, I think it's as well if we were to just pause for a moment. The night is young, the weather is good. To think back, let our imagination roll back over the ages to the time when our Celtic forefathers inhabited this island, when Manannan, that wicked and magician, ruled over the land, when it was possible for him to make one man appear to be 100, where he could whittle little sticks that became ships to fight against an invader, and where in the last resort he could bring his mist down over the island to keep invaders away. We know that Manannan was chased out, as it were, by St. Patrick, and so Christianity came to man. St. Patrick was followed by the Norsemen, coming across the North Sea, Orkney, Shetland, the west coast of Scotland. They harried, they plundered, but finally they lived in harmony too with the people whom they invaded. Can you imagine what happened when they came to the Isle of Man, this soft, beautiful, treasured isle in the Irish Sea, with its soft plates and clay? They came from their own rock-girt, granite-like country, but here they were able to carve on our soft stones all their wonderful myths and legends. I refer to the fact that they settled down with our people. They became Christians. But the runic crosses that now stand on our island shores, in our churchyard, bear testimony not only to their own Norse ancestry, but to the Christianity which they invoked. Our place names in the island breathe of the old Celts and the Norsemen. Then came the Darbys and the Attles. We have nothing to thank them for. For 300 or 400 years, this country almost perished under them. Then the island passed under the British government, at a time when steamers were coming into their own. And the island developed as we know it today, a pleasure resort and a health resort for hard-working people from the adjacent islands of Great Britain. Now, there's our ninth nation. No wonder with ancestry like that we have our love of land and sea. And if we pause for a moment, we can thrill with pride to the fact that it was men like Peter Fannin, who was one of Captain Cook's captains, Captain Quilliam, who steered the Victory into Trafalgar, Mark Wilkes, who was governor of St. Helena when Napoleon arrived there, to Mark Cubbon, who governed the state of Mysore, the only part of India to remain loyal to the crown at the time of the Indian Mutiny. And there was a man named Skillicorn from the parish of Lonnon, who actually started Cheltenham's farce. And who could forget William Kinnish, the boy of 22 who was jilted by his girl in Maccles, ran off to sea, and within 7 years, a boy who couldn't speak one word of English was the chief carpenter of the British Mediterranean fleet. There was Captain Gill, the first captain of the Steam Packet Company's ship, a man whose name will go down in history. There was Tom Brown, the one and only Tom Brown, our very own poet. Two world wars, and the Isle of Man did its share in both. A Manxman, Vernon Wilson, a Port St. Mary boy, was the first airman to take the airmail to Australia. He was the first airman, too, to land on the waters of the Dead Sea. And today, our ambassador in Egypt, the man who has to carry a heavy burden, is a Manxman, too, Sir Ray Stevenson, whose ancestral home is just south of Castle Town. Well, there are our outstanding men. There are many others, but as in the ordinary man, whether his work is on land and sea, that we are typified in the person of Fred Quayle, who would tonight have been singing for us here. But unfortunately, Fred Quayle is very ill in Noble Hospital at the present moment, and our hearts and prayers go to him and his family in their present emergency. Willie Alexander will sing for us instead, the ninth fisherman's evening hymn. Mr. Alexander. Please come as near here as you can, will you? Make yourselves as comfortable as you can, too. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we've referred briefly to our menfolk. It would be wrong if we were to omit the more important sex, and that is the ladies of our country. Now, in terms of picking out outstanding women, I think it would suffice if I were to mention merely two. I would refer to Nessie Haywood, the sister of Peter Haywood, who was a midshipman on the Bounty at the time of the mutiny. And the Isle of Man and the mutiny on the Bounty are, of course, two inseparable stories. Because, you know, Captain Bly of the Bounty was married in the Isle of Man. He was actually married in Onchan Church. And his father-in-law and mother-in-law are buried in Onchan Churchyard. And it was natural, therefore, that a man who came, well, he's a wise man, he came to the right place to look for his wife, you know. It was right that a man sailing from the Isle of Man should have with him, too, a nucleus of nice men. The mutiny is a different story altogether. We're not going into any details tonight, but suffice it to say that poor little Peter Haywood, a boy of 16, his life was fought for with the most, with the utmost vigor by this young sister of his, who gave herself so devotedly to the cause of saving his life that her own health was so seriously impaired that in a very short time later, she died. Now, a wonderful tribute can be paid to Nessie for her love and devotion to her younger brother. The other lady I mentioned would be Laura Wilkes, the daughter of Mark Wilkes, who was on St. Helena when Napoleon arrived there. And we know that during the early days of his incarceration on that island, that Laura did comfort him. However, Laura came back to the Isle of Man, and it was at Lady Buchan that she was responsible for presenting that piece of land on which the new Kirk Braddon is built, and behind which you went to the service last Sunday. And as Lady Buchan too, she founded the Buchan School in Castletown. Now, leaving everybody else out, except in a general sense, we can say this very definitely, that the women of the Isle of Man are without peers anywhere. They devote themselves to their homes, their families, and their jobs. They're a grand crowd. And whether it's the girls you meet in the country or in the town, there's still a kind of suspicion, you know, that Patrick didn't drive Manana out. That if you went up into the mountains and through our higher glen in a summer evening, old Manana is still up yonder somewhere doing his stuff. We've had ample proof of it in recent days too, haven't we? Tonight, he's pleased with us, so he has stayed up on the top of Snaefell with the boys of the RAF. Their belief in fairies too, you know, it's a grand thing. Whether we believe in fairies or not, the average Manxman won't take any risks, you know. Ballana Bridge still awaits you on your journeys north and south, and while you may not be superstitious, at least you say so, you're best to be on the safe side and pay your respects to the little people. And so, tonight, Renee Gelling, should I say Miss Renee Gelling? No, it's Renee, isn't it? Renee Gelling is going to sing for us the fairy dance. Thank you, Renee.
Thank you.
it is some time since I made a request, and for the benefit of the two ladies with a little chappie crossing the field now, will you please go back for the time being? Just for the time being, please, thank you. And you boys who are on the bank, use your skates, boys, and get to the top, quick. Pop your pop, lads, up to the top. That's it. Skates on, boys. Oh, come on, dear, dear. Come on, Derek. Children have in common, whether they're Manx children, whether they're yellow, red, or dark, and that is a love of music and dancing. And our own children in the Isle of Man, and here I'd like to pay my respects to mothers, particularly in this area. Our children in the Isle of Man are wonderful kids, and there's no part of the island where kids are better cared for and more wonderfully nurtured than in this part of the island itself. And tonight we're going to have just a little bit now from our children as well. And first of all, little Johnny Lawson's going to speak to us. Now, Johnny is six.
What are you going to say, Johnny?
Oh, Bobby Bob. Have a heard tale of old Bobby Bob and his woman Margaret Ann. She used to call an awkward big slob when the bucket slipped out of his hand. And bless me, spell the bush she'd made when he played for the summer with a soda cake. Bobby Bob, she'd borrow whatever was then brought up at all. And Bobby would seldom answer her back, but eat the wheat or his lips would smack. Don't know you like a muckin' when thou eat, and put thy skin down the night wait. And Bobby would say that quiet and slow, and pull it down where it's meant to go. Now Bobby weren't a bad thing at all, mighty fond of a drop for all. But then some say their constant nagging and frown sent Bobby to town, his troubles to drown. And that's when I thought would be on his track, for he didn't get out and he'd get back. But that's where Margaret Bob was stuck. She was like water on the wing of a duck. Glad she thought out he was in enough. Told him the old Bobby was poor. For the next time Bobby goes to town, that's all for the figgins down around. And worked herself all into a fidge. Then off she goes to the dark bridge. And waited there for Bobby to come, saying, "I'll kill you, rascal of rum." But Margaret hadn't to wait that long, for yonder was Bobby coming strong. Was the net a bridge tapping his way, just like a ship in every sea? "I'll frighten him out of his skin," she said, and flung a sheep right over her head, and rushed to meet him with a scream before he was halfway over the stream. "I've come to claim me, Bobby Carroll. Come now with me for I'm the general." "Oh, deep door," says Bobby, and he blinks and leers. "Give us the hand, bro. I've lived with thy sister for 40 years.
Thank you.
rubbing the turf. I think we commenced with T.E. Brown, didn't we? I think perhaps this little introduction to our Manx wedding might very easily finish with him too. You know, it was Tom Brown who wrote, "That's the way with the kids, you know, and the years do come and the years do go, and when you look back, it's all like a puff, happy and over and short enough." Now, children, you're going to start us off on the Manx wedding, aren't you? Will you show us how to do it, please? Thank you.
Along the hills are all shown with jubilant song. Keep to the path where you see on the knee. Then on to the